Welcome to Equestrian Movement's Best Do No Harm podcast. I'm your host, Katie Boniface, co-founder of Equestrian Movement with Sarah Gallagher. We work with horse riders who want to build a stronger bond and a deeper connection with their horses. In our first Do No Harm podcast, we discuss with other industry professionals how to work with horses to firstly do no harm and secondly support their mental, emotional and physical well-being throughout the training process, so that we have horses that enjoy learning and ask to be ridden. Each episode, we discuss the different influences our training can have and how we can improve our horses' overall athleticism, soundness of mind and body, and emotional fortitude, while strengthening and deepening our relationship with our horses. Each week, I will endeavour to bring to you a new episode on horse riding, training, handling and husbandry, or an interview with other industry professionals to help you address where and why you might get stuck in creating the beautiful union of dancing souls that is the equestrian sport. Are you ready to kick off today's show? Let's get started. Hey team, Katie here from Equestrian Movement, and today we're going to go into a student's question. It's a pretty fun one. We're going to go into a question. The question is, how can we give our horses happiness? Holy dooly, if that is not a loaded question. Because really, what we're also saying is, how do we give anyone happiness? How do we give ourselves happiness? So I'm going to try and unpack this to the best of my ability and share my take on it. But this really is like a question that is cultivated in my life's work and what we're trying to do with the Holistic Horse Handling Program and what we're trying to do in general with our horses. In the school face-to-face and what I want from the horses when I'm riding them as well. So we have to start with the three Fs: friends, forage and freedom. So being able to recreate some kind of living arrangement for our horses that is conducive to, that positive environment that they can live on. It's important that they have access to forage for the health of their gut and to reduce the risk of ulcers. I see such a significant difference when we address these environmental factors. We can reduce so much of the stress of the horse's life when they're not being stable 24/7. Sometimes there's going to be situations where that isn't an option, but just know that it's not normal for a horse to be stabled 24/7. It's not really even that normal for them to be stabled overnight. Their preference is open paddocks where they can see out over like the horizon kind of thing. Like they can see out and that they have their herd there to help them feel safe and protected. They definitely need at least one other horse member of their herd or something that will allow them to feel safe to sleep. Being that herd animal, they don't get their proper sleep if they don't have another horse available to them to keep guard while they're sleeping. So we're not going to go too much into detail with those kinds of things, just, you know, a general awareness that these friends, forage and freedom, and then an awareness over their overall health and, you know, management of any potential for pain, especially if we're riding them, is important to having happy horses if we're going to work with them. So I don't even know that there is a good answer to happiness. There is a lot of internal biological factors that are involved with an experience of happiness, and different experience create different kinds of happiness. So, feeling safe, if you've gone through in a period of time where you have felt threatened and unsafe, feeling safe can feel good. Play can feel good. Task achievement, so dopamine, is going to feel good, but it can create with it its own problems of, you know, if the task is not achieved, that frustration, that block to task achievement, but overcoming frustration and getting task achievement on the other side of that frustration is even more rewarding than the initial dopamine would have been without the frustration. So that like building of tension of that frustration and then figuring something out is its own place of happiness. And then opposing that serotonin, so just even soaking in the experience of not having the answers is also a positive experience. It can feel good given permission to like have that as a positive experience in your life, being able to negotiate that, you know, that dopamine drive in your body and to pull out of it and be in that place of it's okay, like here is good enough, is its own positive experience. So there's all of these, you know, internal biochemical factors that are playing out that, you know, is there to meet our survival needs. They helped us to keep the population going, to find food, and to look after each other. Like that's basically, you know, we're returning back to friends, forage, and freedom, right? There's like this whole orchestra of internal chemicals that are moving us away from what we don't want towards what we do want, and what we do want is connection, to be fed, and to feel safe. And then we also do love a good task achievement dopamine kick as well. So that is really what we're doing when we apply the principles of holistic horse handling. It's acknowledging that, you know, the 1-2-3 implementation of exercise, of operant conditioning, what are you going to, how are you going to guide the behavior? How are you going to mark the behavior? How do you motivate them to do it again? Is a process of, you know, it can look very simplistic in its form, but it's a process of what is the thing that the horse doesn't want that we're moving them away from? What is the thing that they do want that we're moving them towards? And how are we going to use that to help them choose the thing that we want them to do? So then it is also like the time spent in connection and relationship with your horse, because the thing that motivates one horse does not motivate the other. We had this conversation with our show team yesterday. You know, we've got a new girl on the team and her question is, how can I get Angel forward? Well, the answer to getting Angel forward could be like, you know, pressure and release, use your legs when she moves, quiet your legs. And so then the thing that she wants is you to stop using your legs. The thing that you want is for her to go. And so you stop using your legs when she goes. But that doesn't work for Angel because she doesn't really care about you using your legs on her. Other things motivate her. She also doesn't really like pats or touch. You know, we have to find a way of working with these horses in a way that we are listening to and appreciating the way that they as an individual want to be engaged with. So the answer is really a combination of these things. She needs a lot of vocal praise. She really appreciates us telling us, telling her thank you for her efforts. Thank you for looking after me. She really hates being hassled and she hates being pushed along and pressured along. So, you know, if we do all pressure and no praise, then we're going to have her jacking up and refusing to move and having little sassy arguments with their riders because that's her temperament. If we don't appreciate the fact that, you know, the rub, the pat has to be quite a gentle stroke down her body. She likes, you know, the stroking of her ears over pats on her body and touching different places. We need to be appreciative of the fact that she doesn't have a lot of stamina. She's more of short bursts of energy kind of girl. So you're going to, you know, ask for those short efforts and then praise and give her a break before you ask for more. The same being, you know, for Rabbit, if we ask for a lot of repetitions from him without giving him a break, if we're unclear in what we're asking of him and we don't give him time to process and decide that, yes, he's on board with the invitation to participate, then we get a lot of resistance and stubbornness and refusal to move, Whereas, you know, Phoenix and Hunter, they're on the other side of the spectrum where both of them are very athletic. But if we don't, you know, really listen to Phoenix, then he will start to shut down and internalize, and he'll stop engaging with us, and we'll lose his, you know, he will still be super willing and athletic and an active participant, but he's just not happy about it. He's a bit of that eternal people pleaser. And then Hunter's the same way, where he will try his little heart out, and if we don't praise him, then he will start to get like an overwhelmer performance anxiety, where he will just spiral, and it doesn't matter how much you try to control him, he's out of control, because a horse that can't control its emotions can't control their behaviors. If you're not telling him what to do and that what he's doing is right and good and correct, then he does get his knickers in a twist and start to carry on. So, you know, what we're looking at when we're applying these exercises that we're using with our horses is not about what you can make your horse do, but how you're using them to build trust and confidence, how you're using it to build communication, what your horse looks like when they're tense, what your horse looks like when they're relaxed, how you can communicate to your horse that they can relax. So you're bringing so much more richness to this conversation instead of boxing it into these, like, you know, beautiful black and white experiences that if it was a motorbike, sure, like, that would happen. Put the accelerator on, the bike goes, put the brake on, the bike stops. Doesn't happen like that with horses, because they have their own way of, you know, responding to us and who we are and how we show up in conversation with them, and then also to what's being asked of them. So the first thing that we're looking at in our holistic horse handling program is a felt sense of safety, creating an environment where our horse feels safe to relax. We can see this in body languages of relaxation in the horse, and without being able to test the horse, we can't you know, hook them up to an MRI machine or test, you know, the hormones and neurotransmitters that are going through their blood at every individual moment, so that we can cross-reference their behavior to see what that internal environment looks like. We can kind of, through association, interpret maybe what's also happening at the same time is we're developing vagal tone and they're getting a release of GABA. So all of those things feel good. And doing the exercise of relaxation is its own reinforcer for the horses, because relaxation should feel good in their body. Why does it feel good in your body? Because of the release of GABA and because of the development of vagal tone and that felt sense of safety. So being able to offer these experiences with the horses, when you see, you know, those relaxation cues, you can, you know, maybe interpret that that's what's also happening at the same time. We do have lots of video, especially within the Holistic Horse Handling Program, of what that relaxation looks like, but we also have lots of free stuff. We've got the video in our Facebook group, we've got videos on our YouTube channel, and we also have the connection series on the podcast of different things to look for with that relaxation state. The next thing that we're looking is, it's one thing for the horse to not feel like we're the threat. It's something completely different for them to feel safe to take instruction and direction from us. So, you know, are we going to ask them to do something that's going to hurt them or that's not good for them? Do we have confidence in the ask? Those kinds of things are going to play out in how relaxed and safe the horses feel with us, and developing a felt sense of belonging as well, so that, you know, they are in relationship to us. They are our horses, and not in a sense of ownership, but in a sense of kinship, family, like, you are my herd, I'm your herd, even though I'm not very good at being a herd member. You know, they don't necessarily see us as a herd, a part of their herd, because, you know, we're basically monkeys that have kind of figured out how to get them to do things for us, and they use us for our fingers to scratch their itchy spots. That obviously has no peer-reviewed scientific testing behind it. We like to, you know, kind of put some stories in there to make it fun. But we're wanting to create like a kinship between us where we're doing this together. We're a team. We're looking at those compassionate leadership skills. We're developing psychological safety, consent, and choice. And we go into this and how to develop that in our holistic horse handling program in module 2 and 3 with compassionate leadership and communication. I will tell anybody who will listen that my horse Fiddy has the most opinions of a horse I've ever met. He will flat out refuse to put his rug on unless it's cold or he knows that there's going to be a cold snap or it's going to rain. They have, you know, an ability to feel the changes in the barometric pressure through their whiskers. And so purely through offering a sequence of events that allow our horses to communicate to us, which we do as target, we can ask them, would you like a rug on? Do you want this brush or that brush? What bit would you like to wear? You know, when we're aware of the fact that the horses are capable of communicating this sort of stuff to us, it just completely opens the door for us. And I think this is always one of those things where just when I think I know everything there is to know about horses, I'll spend some time with them and they'll teach me more. So just when I think that, you know, I'm at the brink of what a horse is capable of doing and their level of intelligence, they show me it's actually me that's lacking the intelligence and the communication skills to be able to take that conversation deeper with them. So the things that we're looking for about how well engaged with us they are and how happy with us they are. Again, we share this a lot in our trainings, specifically going into detail with video in our holistic horse handling program, but we also have our episode The Softening in our connection series. We're looking for body languages like eye contact. There are subtle differences in eye contact. You could have an eye contact where the horse doesn't want to take its eyes off you because they're wary and they're watching you and they're waiting for like what you're going to do next because they feel unsafe. Or it could be an eye contact where they're like, hey friend, what are we doing today? With the second one, they will approach you at the same time. They'll come up like as close to you as they can. With the first one, they won't approach you. They'll keep their distance. They'll have their exit strategy. So we're looking at messages that the horses are giving us with their eyes, with their body, with their bubble, like their space that they're willing to keep between us and them. Different things like that. How they brace against us, where they soften into us. And these kinds of things could be associated with the release of oxytocin and the social engagement pathway coming online. Again, we have no way of truly testing it, but if you can think about, you know, somebody that you soften into and relax into when they hug you versus somebody that you brace against if they come into your space or they try to hug you, that's going to be, you know, we can kind of cross-reference that and have some empathy for the fact that the horse is having a similar experience. There are differences in the makeup of the horse's brain. However, the size, the part of their brain ratio-wise that's responsible for emotions is larger than ours ratio-wise for problem solving and those kinds of things. So we can assume that possibly the horses are more emotive than we are. They do also have the same neurotransmitters and hormones. So there is potential for these same internal experiences that we have of emotional states that the horses are experiencing them as well. Our horses within the school, they'll lick on us and love on us. the horses, you know, when the kids are riding, they'll go out and they'll do a couple of little exercises, and then the horses will come in and they'll lick on me. If I'm maybe feeling a bit tense or stressed for the day, Angel in particular, she'll give me lots of licks, and the other horses will give me little boops. We see some really beautiful things, like if the horses really enjoyed their ride, then they'll give the person like a little cuddle, wrapping their head around them, so curling them into their neck when they hop off. There's little cues like that. A lot of the riders that come in, they'll miss it, and the horse will, you know, try to connect in that way, and they'll be talking to me about something, and I'll just prompt them and say, your horse is trying to give you a hug there, your horse wants a cuddle there, like little prompts to say, your horse is reaching out to you and you're ignoring it. This is like, you know, such an important aspect of working with animals, is they don't have a way to vocalize their experience. So we have to really pay attention to subtle body languages. But if you can imagine, you know, trying to consistently reach out to somebody that's ignoring you, you're either going to stop, or those behaviors are going to get a lot louder. So normally it's the pain related or the discomfort related behaviors that get louder, because the horse needs to be heard because they're in pain. And it's the connection related behaviors that get quieter, because if we're not paying attention to the horse seeking connection with us, then why would they keep trying? If you listened to last week's episode on mounting, we also do a lot of our process with regards to bringing the horses in from the paddock, grooming, tacking them up, that kind of thing. Especially if I'm training a horse myself, I'll be doing it at liberty so that they have the choice to engage or not. I can give them space and patience when they disconnect for a period of time. You start to realize, you know, how long a horse can hold focus and attention for with our babies. That's part of their training, is being able to hold their focus and attention for longer. To begin with, like, we can be lucky to get 30 seconds of focus and attention out of the horse, and the education process is being able to hold it for an hour at a time. So that's important, that, you know, we're aware of how the horse is innately going to fall in and out of concentration, dependent on their brain as a muscle and how well exercised the brain is. And again, I have videos of that. In particular, I have a few on YouTube with Sully in the breaking process with her. But then we also have those in the Holistic Horse Handling Program, going from getting it on the ground to keeping it in the saddle. It's basically the foundation of our ridden work, is how are you going to call the horse's attention onto you when they lose focus? And so lastly, we're looking at our emotional agility skills. So not all emotions are made equal. You know, if our horse is feeling threatened and they don't have a way to escape the threat, or they're strong enough or secure enough in their body to take out the threat, then that lack of felt sense of safety will become aggressive behaviors. But the same if we're seeing a horse become overstimulated, say for example with clicker training and positive reinforcement, and they're just getting, you know, addicted to that dopamine hit and hooked on that task achievement, then stretching behaviors and blocking that task achievement is going to see either frustration behaviors or possibly overwhelm, performance anxiety, just like the horses that are like that just end up needing a lot of reassurance. If they're trying to get the answer and they can't get it right, then they start to spiral and get more and more anxious. And, you know, an anxious horse runs. So a horse that's confused and doesn't know what the answer is, and they're more of that athletic type, like the thoroughbreds and the Arabs, they just go faster. So putting it all together, supporting our horses when they are doing hard things and trying to solve problems, that develops a stronger relationship with our horses, where they can enjoy working with us more. So there's a lot of intricacies, and it's why we share lots of different horses within the Holistic Horse Handling Program, how they're experiencing these things, because it's not a one size fits all. the way that Hunter perceives his rider is that he needs a lot of direction and he needs a lot of comfort that he's doing the right thing, whereas Angel's quite happy to look after a rider and she just needs enough direction to know what to do and not an option to just hang out and eat the grass. So there's, you know, you're looking at your horse as an individual, being able to read it. When you can read these signals that are a communication of the horse's internal environment, then you can gain more confidence that, yep, your horse liked that. No, your horse didn't like that. Your horse was okay with that. Maybe choose a different way to do this thing. It gives you permission to say, all right, this version of this shaping plan or how I did this didn't work. What other options do I have? And that's one of my favorite things working with the kids is they are really capable of thinking outside of the box. And the way that they experiment with like different ways of trying to communicate with the horse, it really opens your mind to there's so many ways that we can invite a horse to participate with us. And there's so many ways that we can keep them engaged and motivate them to enjoy spending time with us as long as we have that mindset when we're working with them. It's normally our stuff that gets in the road. It's like we're getting frustrated, we're getting stressed, we're worried, we don't think our horse is doing a good enough job. We're getting pressure from external factors. We're bringing our day stress to the training session. You know, our horses, especially when they have the three F's covered, are generally pretty happy just being horses. And it's the way that we affect their experience of the world that can make them unhappy. And if we take a breath and let our horses show us how to be happy, then quite often we recognize that they already are happy and we're just ruining it for them by making them work. No, not always. We can find happiness in work. Efforting can feel good. Task achievement feels good. Movement can feel good. Actually, when we find that beautiful flow state and when we can find play with the horse and when the horse is moving with us, then it is a joy for both us and the horse us to be ridden. It can just be that initial stages of like a green horse, you know, learning its job of how to carry a rider, or a green rider developing their ability to ride. So, you know, the horses don't enjoy it if we lose our balance and hit heavy on their back, or we lose our balance and hit heavy on their mouth, or we pull hard in their mouth. You know, things that are going to create pain and take away from that union of movement are generally where we're going to have horses not being as enthusiastic about their work. But when we are working together and our horses can feel that we're giving our best effort to try and do that with them, then they do. Like, our horses quite often are quite happy to, well, a majority of the time, they're quite happy and eager to participate. Even Angel, she'll come in and she will enjoy her lessons. She is one of our best beginner horses. She does take on that nurturing role really beautifully. And it's just when they start to get a little bit like they need a break that we'll start to see behaviors where they're less engaged and less willing to participate. Anyway, hope that is of benefit to you guys and it helps you to create beautiful, happy, willing horses. I'd love you to join us on our free masterclass where we go into greater detail about how to develop these compassionate leadership skills in our horses. Put the link to that in the show notes. If you've had any aha moments or anything that you'd love to share with us, feel free to tag us over on Instagram. We love hearing from you and the little gems that you take out of our work. It just makes my heart sing. It's what I'm all about. Until next time, happy trails. If you're starting to realize that escalating pressure and having pressure release is the only tool in your toolkit inevitably results in conflict and manhandling your 500 kilo plus fur baby, you have to check out our free masterclass, Say Yes to a Happy Willing Horse. There is an art and a science to everything we do with our horses. The science is the undeniable behavioral training and manipulation of the internal chemistry, neurotransmitters, and hormones. Hello, dopamine! The art is in the connection and the relationship. How your horse behaves is a reflection of who they are in relationship to you, how they receive your instruction, and how safe you make them feel to follow your lead. And if you didn't want that, ride a motorbike. We know that our horses are emotive, intelligent, sentient beings that are aware of the manipulative, coercive, and sometimes abusive tactics used to force them to cooperate. And we can seek a better way. The foundations of holistic horse handling are nervous system regulation, compassionate leadership, communication, and emotional agility. These elements are critical to have a handle on before going to work with your horse, so that we can develop the psychological safety for the horse to communicate how the training can be of benefit to them. Our training should be happening for them, not to them. If we want a horse that we can have trust and confidence in and that seeks to look after us first, we need to create an environment where learning is fun, movement feels good, and our horse is asked to be ridden. This sounds impossible to you, know that it's not. It's a reality hundreds of our students have achieved. It just requires coming home and a relearning of what we lost due to peers, coaches, trainers, and other influences teaching us that that kind of softness and kindness creates unsafe horses. In truth, it is the opposite. To create safe, willing horses, we first need to create a felt sense of safety and a felt sense of belonging. We need to be strategic and intentional how we set the horse up for success so as not to overface ourselves and our horses, and we need to create experiences where we build trust and confidence in each other. If you're ready for your horsemanship and horse riding to look like this, take the first step. Click on the link in the show notes and join us in our free masterclass, Say Yes to a Happy Willing Horse. Or you can find it over on our website at www.equestrianmovement.com/say-yes. Until next week, happy trails.